First reading today is from the Old Testament. It's from the book of prophets, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Our second scripture reading from Psalm 118, verses 22 through 29. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here ends our scripture reading. May we all sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this very morning. Dear friends, family, church family, it was Palm Sunday, and because of a sore throat, 7-year-old Jimmy had to stay home from church. So when the family returned home, they were carrying several palm branches, as you saw this morning. And the little boy was curious, and he really wanted to know why. So Dad tried to explain. Well, Jimmy, people waved them over Jesus' head as he walked by. Wouldn't you know it, the little boy complained. The one Sunday I couldn't go to church and Jesus shows up. Eventually they learned to understand the depth and the significance. On that first Palm Sunday long ago, Jesus and his disciples were entering Jerusalem, and we now know that it was for the very last time. They were part of the throngs of people moving into Jerusalem for the Passover. And they were singing psalms and songs of joy. And Psalm 118 that we just read say that it was a favorite processional hymn. That Psalm 118 in the Bible was a favorite since then. A processional hymn that people sang while walking into Jerusalem on their way to the temple. And as this happened, this was, we could really say, an annual event. But this time, as they were entering, some people looked around and they recognized Jesus. And the moment when they saw who it was, they immediately spread their cloaks and palms on the road in front of him. They cheered him on and began shouting like, "Blessed are you who enter into God's name. From God's house we bless you. Hosanna for the Son of David." So can you imagine what was happening? They were yelling, they were screaming, they were waving their branches. But we need to understand that that was not planned for the sake of Jesus. That was the tradition in those days. And on that glorious day, as we know it now, people identified and knew This was Jesus entering at that moment. All faces were now turned and all feet underway to Jerusalem. The Jews were underway to celebrate in the temple their annual religious holiday, the Passover, celebrating the exodus of their ancestors out of slavery in Egypt. In real life, they were slaves under the strict rule of Rome in those days. So they were hoping for, they were screaming for, and they were yearning for real change. They wanted someone to lead them to a better life. And those who were part of the procession that day had different reasons for waving those palms. Because amongst them were, political activists. And they had heard rumors that Jesus had special powers, and they wanted him to use it to free Israel from Roman rule. While there were others who had loved ones who were sick or dying, so they waved branches hoping for physical healing. Some were only onlookers, merely looking for something to do, while others were followers who hoped in those days that Jesus would establish himself as their earthly king and lead their resistance against the Roman Empire. Can you see how many emotions, how many feelings there were on that day? From all so many different sides. But sadly, their high hopes were also short-sighted. They saw the world only from their own perspective. Jesus' action was the direct opposite of what the people expected in those days. So little did they understand the significance of the events taking place at that time in history, completely unaware. Jesus was riding a donkey. No coincidence. Because in those days, a donkey was a symbol of peace, not a horse, which is a symbol of conquering. Jesus chose to ride the donkey. And Jesus approached Jerusalem in peace, and he came as a humble servant and not as a mighty warrior king. You see, Jesus had a different understanding. Jesus had different goals in sight. He already knew that his kingdom was not from this world. The proverbial grain of wheat was about to be engulfed by darkness in order to germinate and to produce new life for countless millions to follow, not only then, but through the centuries. Jerusalem and its people did not understand it then. But what was actually happening? How do we see that procession today? We now know that they were actually welcoming the Prince of Peace, who would influence the course of human history forever. The people who originally welcomed the Prince of Peace would soon melt away in bigger crowds, and shortly afterwards, the same people, many of them, would join in shouts of, not Hosanna, but crucify, crucify, crucify. So you see, even in our times, it is really easy to shout, but it's much harder to follow. You know, even in our times, many of you may have seen the bumper stickers. They read, honk if you love Jesus. Have you seen them? Well, let me suggest a different bumper sticker. Follow if you love Jesus. Anyone can honk. even in our times, the excitement of special enthusiasm and a fresh burst of energy over a particular project can inspire us to do great things and to go far beyond just the call of duty to make dreams come true. Unfortunately, enthusiasm so easily fades and interest gets lost. It was great while it lasted, but soon after it was gone. It is so easy to shout. It is not as easy to follow. The Jesus movement started with a small group of men and women who would grow person by person through the ages until it reached the furthest ends of the world. The ragtag army eventually grew into countless millions, and let me tell you, it is still growing. Everywhere, here, elsewhere in the world, the movement is building hospitals, universities, and schools. It's healing the wounded and setting at liberty captive peoples. It is still bringing people from darkness into light. So today, that's why we came. We again welcome Jesus. This time, no longer under way to a cruel execution. But we welcome Jesus once again as if for the first time, because He is our hope for peace and the coming of God's kingdom on earth. That is the promise of Scripture that we believe. Some people have called me an optimist when I spoke about this. Well, I will remain an optimist about a new world, a better world, God's promise. And we believe that the ancient prophecy of the prophet Isaiah said that a son would be born to us. And Isaiah predicted that authority would rest upon his shoulders and that all would recognize him as the Prince of Peace. And this became reality in the birth, the ministry, and the final sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So think of it. Every time when we pray the Lord's Prayer, what are we saying? Let your kingdom come. How many times have you and I throughout our life prayed the Lord's Prayer? Is it just an idle repetition of words, or is it still our fervent prayer centuries later? Let your kingdom come. We pray for a better world where justice and peace will forever ban the misery, the pain, and the injustice of war, poverty, and helplessness of a suffering world. Isaiah's vision tells of endless peace in a world governed by God's love and peace. Across the world, as we speak, people are yearning, people are hoping and praying for just one thing: peace. On the first Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem, welcomed as the Prince of Peace. So today we once again celebrate the entrance of Jesus. This time, not into Jerusalem, but into our lives, into our hearts, into our way of doing, into our hopes, into our prayers and our dreams, as we once again recognize and welcome Jesus as our Prince of Peace. The message of the Prince of Peace resonated through the ages. And in our times, we still follow the Prince's call for the coming kingdom of God. We long for a time when nations will go to war no more, when hate will melt away in the presence of love. And this longing gave birth to the prayer for peace that we will now sing before celebrating communion this morning. Because in spite of confusion, opposition and darkness, we are working, we are waiting, we are yearning for a day when oppression will be no more, and God's people across the world will live in dignity and peace, peace and freedom. Therefore, we hail the power of Jesus' name as we on this Palm Sunday wave our palms in honor of our Prince of Peace. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Amen.